Chapter 18. Why not a speechwriter? With political communication as one of my specialties, I see a close relationship between politicians' rhetorical performance and their political success. Rhetoric can play a valuable role in turning prime ministers' high approval ratings into momentum for the adoption of preferred policies by the government. Let us examine the example of Junichiro Koizumi's rhetoric and communication style through the functions of the rhetorical prime ministership, or RPM. RPM consists of prime ministers doing three things. First, offering their political vision to the public so they can put programs in place with public support. Second, opening the public sphere and keeping it open. And third, exerting their utmost rhetorical efforts to gain public trust, both domestically and internationally. First, regarding rhetorical leadership, Koizumi did a good job of forming the consensus that reform is needed during the House of Councillors election in 2001. It seems, however, that he failed to ascertain the real issues that it became necessary to discuss as a result. A consensus has existed among Japanese people that they need to find solutions to the economic crisis. People's interests have shifted to such issues as 1. How and what political programs should be implemented, and 2. What the consequences would be of such implementations. I do not think the Koizumi administration took enough responsibility in explaining the consequences of reforms to the public. Second, concerning the public sphere, members of Koizumi's cabinet were active in identifying problems that existed, but were far behind schedule in disclosing facts about the privatization of public corporations. This does not necessarily mean, of course, that the Koizumi cabinet could have carried out every reform within the benchmark first 100 days of its administration, but it does mean that it should have outlined the priority list of proposed reforms during the honeymoon period. Without this explanation of priority, the media began to harshly criticize the administration. People are willing to endure hardships only if it appears that reforms will bring about positive change. It is the media's role, however, to take an active part in setting up public forums where politicians, intellectuals, and concerned citizens can exchange opinions and engage in public debates. Mere coverage of the prime minister's administration is not sufficient. Finally, when it came to policy decision-making, Koizumi repeatedly and rather simplistically stated, "We have to endure the current economic difficulties." He did not delineate how his prescriptions would work to cure Japan's disease. If Japan needed surgery, Koizumi should have explained to the people why it was necessary and how it would work in conjunction with rehabilitation programs. Part of the criticism, however, should be aimed at the silent opposition parties. In these situations, they should be much more vocal in criticizing the slow pace of proposed reform, and they should also provide alternative proposals in specific fields, such as education, the stock market, and diplomacy. One aid to fulfilling the functions of RPM would be to hire speechwriters. In the United States, presidents traditionally hire speechwriters to get their messages across. Patrick Buchanan, who is a conservative critic, was a speechwriter and aide to 3 Republican presidents. Peggy Noonan, previously a producer and writer at the broadcast company CBS News in New York, wrote speeches for Ronald Reagan and George Bush. More famous examples include historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. and lawyer Theodore Sorensen for John F. Kennedy. Presidents recognize the necessity of explaining their plans, programs, and philosophies in terms that can be understood and embraced by the public, both domestically and abroad. A speechwriter's skill at using words effectively could help a prime minister build a bridge between his ideas and the public's mind, clarifying to citizens the relevance of political actions to their daily lives.